Dennis Mellon from Full Throttle Leadership partners with teams and individuals to help them pursue their peak performance. Dennis uses his personal life experiences as passion to pour into the next generation of leaders. All right. So Dennis, welcome to the What's the Mood podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Julie. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to a good conversation.
Yeah, so am I. So you are a part of Full Throttle Leadership. Tell us a little bit about what Full Throttle is and how that got started for you.
Well, I'm a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and a retired airline pilot. And I went through several iterations of branding, and I settled upon Full Throttle Leadership. And I use it to teach executives, leaders, how to connect their culture with their vision and keep their employees engaged, because that seems to be one of the biggest problems right now is engaging your employees.
Yeah. And how did you go from becoming a pilot to pursuing like leadership teaching to different types of people?
Well, I kind of had an inverted life. Most kids at age 18 are going, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Where do I go? What's a pathway? But I knew from age 10 that I wanted to be a professional pilot. And at age 56, I'm up flying up over Eugene, Oregon, looking down and thinking to myself, hey, I wonder what all those people are thinking down there. And then I chuckled to myself. Hey, they're probably down there looking at me going, hey, I wonder what that guy's doing up there.
Yeah.
And the very next day I go out mountain bike riding in the foothills east of Seattle, in the foothills of the Cascades. And I had a near fatal heart attack, which prevented me from ever flying again. So I went through a series of airline related jobs, and they just didn't capture the same excitement. You know, I get to go to work instead of I have to go to work. Mm-hmm. And in about 2013 or so, one of my lady friends came up to me and said, hey, how'd you like to speak to our group? And I kind of chuckled and said, about what? And she said, you've been to all those Air Force schools. You're an Air Force Academy guy. You're a retired lieutenant colonel. You were in charge of 650 pilots and 40 instructors at Alaska. Mm-hmm. You could talk about leadership. And it was as if the sky opened up and this ray of sunshine came down, and I started down the pathway of speaking and coaching executives and leaders.
Wow. I'm thinking for a second about what you shared, like at the age of 10, knowing what you wanted to do and doing that for a very long time. And then life happened in a way where you were presented with an invitation to think about it differently, because it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a huge change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed my job. I loved, there were times when I was tired going to work and everything, but overall it was exciting.
Sure.
I'd get up on a daily basis and think, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to be up in Anchorage today, or I'm going to be in Hawaii, or with the Air Force, I'll be in the Philippines or something like that. And it was just really exciting work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's gone. So at age 56, I'm looking at what an 18-year-old looks at. Now what? Plus, I've got that age discrimination factor, no matter what anybody says, you know. Mm-hmm. Who wants to hire a opinionated 56-year-old to help out with stuff, you know?
Well, I'm so glad that you do have opinions and that you stepped into trying to figure out what might be next for you in terms of investing in a really worthy cause. So leadership is where it's at for you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I do workshops and like I said, coaching. I love speaking.
Yeah.
I really do. That's that first, you've probably done it. That first 30 seconds in front of an audience, when you know that you've grabbed their attention, is kind of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. So we, you know, here at the Human Performance Project focus a lot on student leadership. And I'm curious what, you know, when you say you love speaking and you talk about leadership all the time, like what's the topic around that or the message that really like you find a lot of passion about or really like pumps you up?
Well, with the kids, I use the idea that everybody, leadership is not something that just comes natural. You have to learn how to do it. And it's typically by watching examples of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tell them or get them to think about leadership from the standpoint of you're not going to be the know-all, be-all mm-hmm. Just because you say something or tell a direction. You've got to be, it's that servant leader concept. And you're going to have to be vulnerable and be able to say, hey, and this is really tough for kids. Hey, I screwed that up, but I still want to be the leader. Or, yeah, that was a mistake, but we can recover from it. What do you guys think we should do? You know, getting the connection with them. And I think with the way social media has gone lately, and there's a lot of peer pressure with the kids, and to stand, you're going to stand out as a leader. And I think there's some reluctance there with the teens and young adults to stand out.
Yeah.
But yet that's what leadership requires.
Yeah. So I'm hearing you say you believe leadership is learned and it takes work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not something that, oh, I'm finally there. I finally arrived. It evolves. Look at mm-hmm. the changes we've had to do over the last 3-4 years because of COVID. You know, mm-hmm. You're not a team. A remote team is not a team until they're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't make those connections with people, mm-hmm. You're just going through the paces, and there's so much more potential mm-hmm. that can be used if you get that synergism of working in a team.
Yeah. Yeah. If peer pressure is a big thing in young adults, emerging adults, teenagers, what is something that you tell students, in terms of how to be a leader in that environment, or even personally, how to work through that type of reality, because that's a daily lived thing for
right,
them.
Right. Well, part of it is if I can get them to come in on a recurring basis, you know, it's same thing in business. You go to a workshop, it's not a one and done thing. If you don't follow up, mm-hmm. it doesn't get to be a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to do is in the workshops with the teens and young adults is have exercises where, you know, you take turns for this exercise, this team exercise, Julie, you're in charge. And what it does is it's a controlled environment where a mistake's not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
And they're all on the same page. They know that they're going to make mistakes. So allowing them to develop in front of their peers and have the give and take, have reveal that vulnerability. I think that's what most of the young adults struggle with, is showing vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of peer pressure that occurs within them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So creating environments where students can almost be put in the leadership hot seat,
right,
and learn about themselves in an environment where they won't be shamed. It's controlled. Right. They can admit their mistake and even kind of put on the, you know, test out vulnerability and learn that it's even a superpower in a sense.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And the thing of it is there, I try and stress that, you know, there are no failures. There's just a lesson from the failure. I use the example of Thomas Edison was asked why it took 10,000 experiments to make his light bulb. And he says, they weren't 10,000 failures. Those were 10,000 ways that didn't work until I found the one that worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that persistence, knowing that there's an error, well, what's the lesson? Okay, the heck with the error, the lesson, now we're moving forward, because it's what's important right now.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, how, what are you working on right now? Mm-hmm. If you're not satisfied with where you are, I tell them, work harder.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that nobody else can control. Just work harder.
Yeah. So one theme in what you're saying that helps make a leader is vulnerability. And I know we've talked about hard work. Um, is is another kind of piece to your belief system around leadership, is like a mindset about not seeing yourself as a failure, but just lessons to be learned? Or what would you say is like another kind of big important thing about leadership?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it is what the lesson is. What are we doing? What are you going to do moving forward? I coach baseball at the local high school.
Mm-hmm.
One of them strikes out, okay, and he's got his head down walking to the dugout. He said, you know, what's important next? What did you learn at that at-bat? If you get to see that same pitcher, what are you going to do next on the next at-bat? Or what are you going to tell the guys coming up to bat what to do? Because once it's in the scorebook, you know, there's no changing it. There's no going to the score. Hey, you know, wasn't that really a hit, or wasn't a strikeout? Or it's in the scorebook. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you can do is move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a very positive outlook on it, and it's not the Pollyanna positive. It's the, what did I learn? What am I working on? How can I make it better? And you just, it's a continuous process.
Yeah. It sounds kind of smooth for you. Has it always been like that for you?
Absolutely not. I tell them I've failed more times in my life than I have been successful. But because of those failures and what I learned,
yeah,
the successes, some of them have been pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's great.
And it's not like you can get to the point where you go, I'm successful. If you're there, you're done. You're not going to move forward anymore. You've got, you know, your workforce has changed. Your culture may have changed. Mm-hmm. What do I do to better it? You know, you're not ever going to be at that point, or your philosophy should be, you're never at that point where I finally reached it. What's important next, really?
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that acronym, what's important next, is WIN. So I like that analogy, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good mindset. That's a good mindset to think that way. So Dennis, you are a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. You own Full Throttle Leadership now. I can't imagine you haven't gotten to this place without positive influences in your life. So I'm curious, if you'd share with us maybe one person who like just impacted you throughout your life's journey, like you wouldn't be the same person today if it weren't for this person.
Well, I'm going to have to say that one of the leaders that I had, that I worked as an assistant and then took over his job, just happened to be my best friend.
Wow.
And he went on to be the vice president of operations at Alaska Airlines, and really did well. But one of the things was he taught me to how to be patient and get as many sides of the story before you make a decision. Because, hey, you know, at first I would tend towards, they did that. Well, let's suspend them. Let's fire them. Mm-hmm. But as you find out the rest of the story, if that person was really trying to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
why would you fire? This is something I got from him. Why would you fire them? And then we have to develop somebody else to get to that level of talent. Why don't we rehabilitate them, or let them go on their way, because they were trying to do the best that they could under the circumstances? Because there's a lot of things that go on with an airline pilot flying to different areas, especially on the ground. There are decisions that are being made because it's always hurry, hurry, hurry. We got to make the schedule. And it's easy to go down a rabbit hole where you get boxed in and a mistake it gets made, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they were trying to do the right thing, he taught me to be patient, find as many perspectives if you could.
Yeah.
And believe in that team member, that employee, that they're trying to do the right thing.
That's awesome. He sounds awesome. And
yeah, he's really a great guy. Well, it wasn't that we didn't get into conflicts either. We would drive to and from work together.
Yeah.
And there are times that we weren't talking on the drive, but we were able to compartmentalize it to where he's been my best friend for 50 years.
That's amazing, you know? Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I know you mentioned some age discrimination at the beginning of our conversation, and none here, because I think Age also brings things like wisdom and perspective and a lived experience that we can all learn from. So
Yeah.
I just, you know, really appreciate.
Well, my wife says there's still a 17-year-old trapped inside this body, so.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
She's smart. She's a
Yeah.
smart woman. Well, thanks for being on the podcast, Dennis. Loved having you.
Oh, thanks very much. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to staying in contact with you.